back in a series that began a few months ago that I've titled The Sevenfold Ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's from Isaiah chapter 11, and it's a Lord's Supper series. So we'll only deal with this every month, and sometimes not even every month, once a month. But we're back in it today from Isaiah chapter 11. If you'd make your way to Isaiah 11, and to give the full context, and I haven't read this in a few messages, I want us to read verses 1 through 10, although we're only going to park on one particular portion of verse 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his waist. Now, clearly, this is prophetic in every aspect of it, of the earthly ministry of Christ, as well as the kingdom ministry of Christ. When he returns in verse 5, righteousness shall be, or in verse 4, smite the wicked with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. The righteous, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his waist. And now we're talking about the kingdom age in verse 6. We know it's the kingdom age because it is repeated in so many ways, shapes and forms by other prophets relative to the time when the people will be back in the land. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. This hasn't happened since the Garden of Eden, and so we know this is still future. And the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. If you know him, you're going to be there one day, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand for an ensign, for a banner of the peoples. They're going to look to him. To him shall the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And so, we're in this Lord's Supper series, the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in the first ministry, the first message, we looked at the places in the book of Revelation where the phrase "the seven spirits of God" are recorded. And it's almost certain that this is a reference in the book of Revelation, the last book, to some 800 years back to what Isaiah wrote, that the Holy Spirit would settle upon the root of Jesse, the rod of Jesse, the branch that shall come out of that root. And the Spirit of the Lord would settle upon him. The Spirit of wisdom we've considered. The Spirit of understanding we're going to consider today. And so this is not a self-description of the Holy Spirit. It's a description of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the power, the presence, the anointing of the Spirit of God upon the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, both his earthly ministry and his kingdom ministry. In that first description, here in verse 2, where it talks about that the Spirit of wisdom will rest upon him, we learned that Jesus grew and increased in wisdom by virtue of being thoroughly versed in the written word of God. We saw that in the Gospels, how certainly Joseph and Mary trained him day in and day out to the degree that as a 12-year-old, he could go in and dialogue with the religious leaders of his day, and they would be amazed at it. And he continued to grow in wisdom and stature with God and man. Now, how is it that the God-man would grow? Because he was 100% human while being God. God with us, God in the flesh. And so he grew. He grew in his knowledge. He took in the word of God and lived it out all his days. And so we talked about the spirit of wisdom that was upon him. This morning, we'll look at the next description in this sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit, namely the spirit of understanding. The spirit of understanding. Now, if you'll notice in verse 2, and that's primarily where this series, it springs from verse 2. Notice the couplets that are here. It's the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And there's a conjunction, and there's the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so there's a conjunction there, putting those couplets together, and yet they are close in meaning, but they're not synonymous. Wisdom and understanding are not synonymous. They're not meant to be synonymous, so there wouldn't be two different words that were in fact used. 19th century American theologian Albert Barnes commented about this. He said, the difference between the words here rendered wisdom and understanding is that the former, that is wisdom, denotes wisdom properly, what we understand to be wisdom. And the latter, judgment resulting from wisdom or flowing from wisdom, by which we distinguish things or decide on their character. And so understanding is a very good translation of this word. It's used some 40 times in the Old Testament, and it's synonymous. It could be even synonymous with the word discernment. He had resting upon him the spirit of discernment. Now, the Old Testament, a long time ago, was translated, written in Hebrew primarily, and then translated into Greek, and that is known as the Septuagint. Some of you have heard that term. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it uses a word which means a putting together in the mind. It's the ability, the supernatural ability, to figure something out. That is, to make clear that which is obscure, to reveal that which is veiled, and now to reveal it. It will no longer be hidden. And in fact, it's the very word, the very concept as well, that was used in a number of places in the Old Testament. Namely, maybe most notably, used in the book of Daniel. Daniel was given understanding, this very same word here, that the spirit of understanding would rest upon Jesus. Well, that would rest upon him for his entire earthly ministry and into the kingdom age. But for Daniel, it was for particular isolated episodes in his life. And those episodes had to do with when he was given the prophecy of the unfolding of world history, which had not yet happened. He was in Babylon during the Babylonian captivity, but he was given understanding that the Medo-Persian Empire would take over Babylon. And he was given understanding that the Grecian Empire would take over Medo-Persia and that the Roman Empire would take over Greece. That's the word, the discernment. That which was previously veiled is now revealed. It's opened up. Jesus, Daniel had that supernatural ability, if you will, resting upon him to know the unknowable. What's more, we know that this understanding comes from God because it came to pass exactly as Daniel had indicated that it would. And of course, we know that it was from God, the Spirit of God resting upon Jesus, because he never made an error. He never misspoke. He never said something and said, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it this way. I was mistaken. That never happened. The principle of understanding or discernment has always been significant in the Word of God and the workings of God. You'll remember Moses, the leader in the Old Testament, how he had some 2 million people, give or take a few hundred thousand, who had come out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness and they're wandering around. And Moses said, I cannot handle all this. I need qualified leaders who are going to help me. And it says in Deuteronomy 1:13, there was a qualification that was given in that particular verse. And it says, take wise men, that is those with understanding, the very same word, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Does it sound like any particular office that we have in the church? in this day, the office of deacon, Acts chapter 6. And we're going to be talking about that in 2 weeks when we have the special deacon ordination service. But Moses said to the people, I need men who have the capacity to discern that which is hidden, which is has been undisclosed, has been disclosed, is now going to be made clear to you. It was true of King Solomon during the times of the kings, where it says that he knew the significance. He so keenly knew the significance of this very concept of understanding that he said, that is what I want. That is what I need. When the Lord asked him, pretty much, you can have what you want. 1 Kings 3, verses 9 through 12 says this. It says, give therefore thy servant. He's praying. An understanding heart, the very word, the very concept, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Solomon is saying, I don't have it in me. I don't have all of the good sense that it would take to make this come to pass. And so I need, Lord, this heart of understanding and the speech, please. So great a people, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And so the spirit of understanding was given, laid upon individuals in the Old Testament for them to have the supernatural capacity to figure it out when it wasn't written, when it wasn't clear, when it was veiled. They needed it to be revealed, and God came upon them for certain occasions. The difference is this ministry of understanding resided upon the Lord Jesus. He personified that. He lived in that vein. Now, take note of the following examples of this spirit anointed understanding Jesus had in his earthly ministry. And I'm going to give you just a dozen verses very quickly. I'm not going to comment on them, but Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And often, in fact, most of the time, when this says this in the New Testament about Jesus, it's because he's discerning hypocrisy. It's almost always that is the case. He is being able to identify, or he was able to identify, that which is hypocritical, that which someone is trying to conceal. And now he is opening it wide open, and in many cases stating it in front of all, one and all, to hear. In Matthew 6:7-8. It says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived the very same thing, he said to them, oh, ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves? They were clustered together talking about things and saying various things about what they understood. But he perceived what the reality was. In Mark 2:8, they let the man down through the roof to be healed, because the crowd was so great they couldn't bring him in. And it says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned among themselves, that is, the religious leaders, when they were talking among themselves, who does he think he is to do this and that? When he perceived that they were saying that, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? Mark 12:15. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Now, you couldn't tell just from the words of the Pharisees that they were there was something feigned about it, something hypocritical. But Jesus saw the intent of their hearts. Luke 5 and verse 22, it says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, it's the same thing. It's the spirit of understanding. He answering them said, what reason you in your hearts? He wanted them to tell the truth. He wanted them to come clean with what it is that they were discussing. And in Luke chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, but he knew their thoughts. He had the understanding and said to the man who had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Luke 9:46-47. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Now the apostles are arguing back and forth. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, their collective heart, took a child and set him by him and taught a lesson on humility. But the reason that he was able to do that, and the reason why it benefits us now, is because he had the spirit of understanding that was prophesied that he would, resting upon him. And example after example, you can hardly turn the page in the four Gospels without encountering one of these examples of Jesus living in the spirit of understanding. And we know it because it states right in the verse in many cases that that is the case. John 2, verses 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know, there's always been money to be made in the Jesus business. You know it? And there's always been those, and still are to this day, who are happy to bring Jesus along if I can be advanced in some way, shape, or form. And that's exact. And he knew that. He saw that. And folks, he sees it today. He sees it in my life. He sees it in your life if it is present and when it is present. He has keen understanding. And throughout the Gospels, that's been revealed. In John 6 and verse 61, it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? John 6:64, just three verses later. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And then finally, in the verses that I'm going to use to reference, John 16:19. But Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. So again, he knew within his heart. The spirit of understanding rested upon him. Now, folks, a short message, a brief message, because we're going to observe the Lord's table. And I need to be reminded. In fact, I have been reminded this week in studying all of these verses and chasing around. I had never chased around the meaning, the etymology, that is the derivation of the word for understanding in the Hebrew Old Testament. And it is so rich. And God used in the Word of God that principle time and time again. And all of a sudden it struck me, I'm maybe a little slow at times, that if God did that then with that ministry of understanding in the lives of Daniel and Moses and a number of other Old Testament situations that I didn't reference, some 40 times that word is used, and he used it the entire time in the earthly ministry of Christ, when he was with his disciples, when he was battling, as it were, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and that he is going to have that spirit of understanding upon him when he returns, that he's going to be able to separate the sheep from the goats. And into the kingdom age, when all the nations are going to come before him, I had better know that he is able to discern and understand where I am every single moment. Amen. You're not getting away with anything, nor am I. Now, that's the negative flavor of that. Negative in the sense of, uh-oh, the jig's up. I might think I'm getting away with chasing around on the internet looking at these images. I might think that I'm getting away with gossiping about so and so and so. I might think that I can harbor my bitterness and my unforgiveness because after all, he did this to me. She offended me. Oh, but no, be sure that the spirit of understanding is upon him and he knows what your life is really all about. And to make it more uncomfortable for me, he knows what my life is really all about. I can pretend, I can put on a show with the best of you. But there's no hiding from him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he knows. Now, maybe that doesn't cause a pause in your heart, because the best you know, your heart is truly centered in him. To God be the glory, that being the case. But he also knows of the anguish of soul that you experience and that I experience. He also knows of the temptation of fear when the cancer diagnosis comes. That's not anyone's fault. That you could not have headed off. He also knows when the layoff at work comes, even though you've been giving it 110%. He understands that. And you all have heard me say 100 times, when I've been in sorrow and anguish, that when I didn't even know of this word or this teaching back in those days, I would say to you, folks, God knows. And that was never a cop out. That was a soothing balm. That was a gallon of soothing ointment that I would just pour over myself to remind myself that in life's most difficult trials, when the storms are there, he's already stilled the storm. Amen. He's already done that. And he knows of the storm that you are facing. A relationship struggle. A wayward child or grandchild. How about a wayward parent or grandparent? We don't say that. That can exist as well. He knows. And he understands. And by his spirit living within you, I don't think I've ever known mic cords to be so dangerous. By his spirit living within you, there's a way through the wilderness. You see, it's still true that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, as soon as you think, and as soon as I imagine that I'm going to gut my way through this, well, okay, go ahead. Hands off. I won't interfere with you. God says, go ahead. You think you can handle this? But there'll be a point when you recognize, and I recognize, and it's better if it's sooner than later, that he cares for me in the valley of the shadow of death, through turbulent waters, through a raging forest fire. And he does it for his name's sake, because he understands. He was tempted in all points as we are. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows that we are but dust. Jesus knows. He knows that you are frail and feeble, and I am as well, and forgetful, and easily provoked, all too easily provoked, and all the other maladies and sin and atrocities that can afflict us, either self-imposed or by others, or just the downward cycle of nature. He knows. He understands. And so what is my response to be? God help. God, I repent. I confess. I need comfort. Lord, you know. And because you know, I can live above the circumstances. I can walk on water. Come on, Peter. Jesus, you know. You know that you have power to hold me up. Yes, I do. Come on. Okay. And then he starts looking at those circumstances again. And what happened to him? Started sinking. If you're in a stage right now of sinking, first of all, he knows that your eyes are off of him. So confess and turn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's a good word. Because he knows. He understands. Commentator John Oswalt wrote, "The promised shoot from the stump of Jesse," all of that's in these verses in Isaiah 11, "will be characterized by the very breath of God about him. Everything about his leadership will testify to a supernatural endowment of his calling. It is this which is critical. Unless the Messiah is truly endued with the Spirit of God, the results of his rule will be no different from those of an Ahaz," an evil king, in other words. But Isaiah can look forward to such a Messiah who will be able to perceive things correctly and who will be able to carry out correct decisions because of a correct motivation. And what was that motivation? As I close this message, John 8:29 tells us, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone." No. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding has rested upon him. "For I do always those things that please him." That was his motivation. He was given the Spirit of understanding to figure out every situation in life. Though we are far from God in our understanding, in our perception, in our discernment, we have, folks, the very same Spirit of God and unction and anointing dwelling in us. 1 John says, you have the anointing. At the point of salvation, he came and took up residence in your spirit. And to a degree, even though you may not be able to figure out all the whys behind an affliction, you can move forward in faith saying, he knows, therefore it's wise and good. And here I go. It's wise and good. Or he's foolish and he's evil. Well, I'm not going there. Amen. So he's wise and good because he understands, and I can commit my way unto him in all things. Lord, I'm thankful for your word. Just a simple concept, simple to read, simple to understand, profound in its application in all of our lives as your people. And Lord, may you, by your Spirit, move in our hearts, even in this moment, and give us the capacity in a fresh and a new way to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, not lean unto our own natural understanding, capacity to discern, but in all our ways be committed to you, and you will direct our paths. It's right there. I didn't even think about it. I think Psalm 37, if I remember, stated right there of what we're to do. Actually, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, isn't it, God's people? Told you my memory wasn't always keen. But Lord, you know, and we know that you know. Therefore, it's good because you've got this. Whatever this is, you have it in control. You have it in your mind's eye. and you're only a prayer away. So, Lord, use this truth that we studied to touch all of our hearts. Be glorified in your name. Amen.